song that we sang, It Is Well With My Soul, and how well it went with the message. And then this evening we sang, I Must Tell Jesus, and so I'm convinced that Dean's looking at my sermon notes. And he's getting into my office and he's looking at my sermon notes ahead of time and picking the songs, right, Dean? Is that what you're doing? And no, we got the Holy Spirit of God. Aren't you thankful for the Holy Spirit? And it's awesome because Psalm 81 this evening, we've been studying through this for a number of weeks now, and we'll be looking at verse number 7. And I'll read the entire verse. We'll get into the message this evening. I'm not going to preach from the whole verse tonight, just part of it. But notice the Bible says this in Psalm 81 in verse number 7, Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. You know, we sang that song, I Must Tell Jesus. That was a song that we sang to start the service tonight. And the second verse said, I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver. Isn't that awesome? And I'm preaching from Psalm 81 and verse number 7, Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. The title for the message is actually simply this, Thou called, I answered. Thou called, I answered. Some of you were here during our missions conference in June this year, and Brother Jim Moore was our special speaker for the conference, our keynote speaker, if you will. And he used an illustration during one of his messages about making a phone call to his wife and getting the voicemail. And he was bothered by it as he shared the example, because when he would call his wife, he expected that his wife would answer. And he was in a particular situation, he needed some assistance, and he called her, and he called her, and he called her, and he called her, and he called her again. And what happened was voicemail after voicemail after voicemail. And he used that silly illustration to really explain a point, how that God is calling people, and sometimes it's that we're not answering the call. And I think about that example or that illustration that Brother Jim Moore used, and I think about this portion of Scripture where the Bible says, Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I'm thankful this evening that we can call on our God and that He answers. I'm thankful for the privilege of prayer. It says, Thou callest in trouble. I'm reminded, and I quoted the verse on Sunday morning as well, Job 14 and verse number 1, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And the fact that we are saved, the fact that we are going to heaven when we die is a wonderful truth. It's phenomenal that we would know that heaven is our home, but we understand that it does not mean that we'll have a life void of trouble. In fact, really the truth that we understand is that when we face trouble, that we have the divine helper, the God who created all things, the one who said, let there be light, that He is our helper in that time of trouble. As we look at Psalm 81, and we've noted as we've studied through this portion of Scripture that it's a psalm that's associated with the Feast of Tabernacles. And we began talking about the opening statements of the psalm and the instruction to the children of Israel. And last week, as we looked at the verses there in verses 4 through 6 and how that God told them that there was this was a statute for Israel, a law of the God of Jacob. And we spoke last week about the purpose that God had, and He was reminding His people. And as they obeyed the law, the commandment that God gave, in so doing, they were also being reminded of the deliverance that God provided. Now, as we begin to look at verse number 7, we find really it was prior to, but very specifically starting in verse number 7, God is really speaking to His people, and He's reminding them of interactions that they had and how God blessed and how God worked. And we find that here as we enter into verse number 7, that God says, Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I know that the last part of the verse says, I approve thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. And I'm going to focus specifically on the end of verse number 7 next Wednesday evening and look at the first part of verse number 7 this evening. And so as we look at the text, let me just remind you of a few thoughts. Number one, we note, first of all, their difficulty. The Bible says very specifically, thou callest in trouble. Can I tell you this evening, this was the best decision they could make. Amen? You face trouble. What do you do when you face trouble? Where do you turn when you have trouble, when you have those difficulties? Where do you turn? What do you do? And we find that God is reminding them that thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. Now, of course, we could look at all of Israel's history, and we could look at, because we have the whole canon of Scripture, and we can find in times of their history that they faced trouble, and they did not call upon God. We can find as we study through the Scriptures that there were times in which they called upon their idols, right? You read the book of Judges, and you find repeatedly through the book of Judges, in particularly with regard to that cycle and how they would serve idols. And we find this evening that here in the context, obviously, with it being a psalm that's associated with the Feast of Tabernacles, is in that deliverance from bondage in Egypt. And here, God says, thou callest in trouble. The reality is that when they left Egypt, they faced difficulty. Did they not? I mean, we read about the 10 plagues and we read about how God delivered them with a mighty hand and all that God did, but we do find that as soon as they got out of the land of Egypt, that they found themselves against the Red Sea with the Egyptians in hot pursuit. And after they crossed over the Red Sea and they saw God work miraculous, they came to a place where there was bitter water. And we can begin to think about the circumstances that the children of Israel faced, and we can understand that even as we read in those portions of Scripture how that they, many times, they would complain. They would murmur. But eventually, as we look here and we see how God is rehearsing this and recording this, that at some point they called to God in their trouble. Can I tell you this evening that God should be our first go-to? Sometimes what happens is God is our last resort. We try everything we can figure out. We do it all on our own. We call the people that we know. We try to network. We try to figure it out, whatever. And then it's like, maybe we should pray. But prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. God wants us to pray. God wants us to seek Him. And in their time of difficulty, God says, thou callest in trouble. And I want you to think this evening of your life, and you're not going to answer out loud and give any specifics, but I want you to think about in your life when you face trouble. And as we would honestly evaluate our own lives and our own experiences in life, what is it that we do when we face trouble? When we face those difficulties, when we face those trials, where is it that we turn? Is it that we immediately begin to have that complaining spirit, that pity party, if you will? How is it that we respond? We begin to look here at their difficulty, and we know that they had difficulties, but we know that difficulties and troubles are something that we as humans are simply going to encounter. I'm thankful this evening that we note their difficulty, but we note their plea. The Bible says, thou callest. Again, I mentioned already that this is the best response. It is the absolute best decision that could be made while we're facing any level of difficulty or trouble is that we would call to God. The word callest means to call out. It means to cry out. In fact, the Hebrew word that is used here for callest is a word that in some form is used over 50 times just in the book of Psalms. What does that tell us? Well, it tells us that often as we go through the book of Psalms, again, the transparency of the psalmist and the ability for us to relate with the psalmist and with this particular word that means to call out or to cry out being used in some form over 50 times in the book of Psalms, that God's people understood that they could call to God. I'm thankful. As I mentioned after we sang the song this evening, I must tell Jesus, and I said this, aren't you thankful that you can? I mean, you understand this evening that there are people around the world that are praying, and I'm talking fervent. It would not be the same definition of prayer maybe that we would use, but they're going through the religious exercise of what they would call prayer, and they're doing it fervently, they're doing it passionately, they're doing it more consistently than some of us do, and no one hears them. No one hears them. The people, the person, the whoever that they're praying to can do absolutely nothing for them. But yet, they cry out consistently, passionately, fervently. Am I telling the truth tonight? Listen, you can go around the world and you can see it. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've heard it with my own ears. And people that do not have the hope that we have, they do not have the truth that we have. Listen, we have a God who told us, who invited us, that said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And sometimes we neglect prayer. We face trouble and we try to figure it out on our own. All of our own resources, all of our own intellect, and so on and so forth. And God says, I'm available. Aren't you thankful that He's a very present help in the time of trouble? You know what happens sometimes when people face trouble? Well, you know, you face trouble in life, and sometimes those people that you thought were your friends are nowhere near. You turn for help and no one's there to help. But my God is a very present help in the time of trouble. My God, your God, our God, He is able. The Bible says that He's able to do exceeding abundantly above. We find that the Bible says in Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And so we see the plea that this was a fervent, a crying out, a calling out. We find that the text of Scripture does not specifically say that thou callest unto me, but we know that God is speaking, and He says, thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. And so God says to His people in this reminder that, listen, when they would observe the Feast of Tabernacles, when they would observe this annually, and they would use this psalm as part of the observance, they would be reminded that God was telling them, hey, when you face trouble, you called and I answered and I delivered. So what does that do for us? What did it do for them? Well, it was intended to help them to be reminded that when they would face trouble next time, what are they to do? Well, they're to call to God because God answered and God delivered. What does it do for you when God answers your prayers? What does it do when you are seeking the face of God? We had an opportunity at this conference. And by the way, we knew God wanted us to be there, and there were some real obstacles to get there. Some real obstacles to get there. But we knew God wanted us to be there, and we got there, and we thank God for it and for the protection that He gave us. But we sat on Monday evening. We didn't make it in time for the Monday morning service, but we got there for Monday evening, and we sat two rows behind a missionary that's a missionary I've never met before, have no idea who they are, where they were serving, didn't know anything about them, and we just met them Monday evening. Tuesday, we sit in the same place. They come and sit right in front of us this time. The first night, it was two rows in between us. Tuesday morning, they were one row in front of us. And after the service, I said, hey, brother, where are you guys serving? So on and so forth. And I begin to have this conversation with him. And he tells me that they're in Mexico, and he tells me how desperately they need Bibles. And I said, really? He said, yeah, we need Bibles so bad. He said, we just can't get them. He said, we use the RVG. You know, that's the same Spanish Bible that we put together. And I said, so you need Bibles. I said, could you use New Testaments? Could you use Romanos? He's like, we could use all of it. We need it. We just can't get it. And I said, so I actually have the privilege of serving on the board of Beacon of Truth, and they print the RVG Bible. I said our church actually on a regular basis puts together the Romanos. We have a session on Friday scheduled to put Romanos together. And this man with tears in his eyes, I mean almost just visibly shaking, he was so overwhelmed with joy. He said, you have no idea how God is answering prayers. Because we've been praying and we had no idea where to turn. We didn't know where we could get Bibles. We went into that place and big auditorium, three times the size of this auditorium, and we sat right behind him. See, that encouraged that missionary, but it encouraged us. Why? Because God answers. And when we call out, we note their plea. This is an appropriate response to the time of difficulty. Hold your place here and turn over to Psalm 60 in verse number 11. And notice what the Bible says in Psalm 60 in verse number 11. As we consider this evening, not only their difficulty, but their plea. Here in Psalm 60 in verse number 11, the Bible says this, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. You know, in the book of Isaiah, the Bible talks about, we won't turn there, but the Bible talks about how the people of God went to Egypt for help. Egypt being a picture of the world. And God does not have any commending words for them for going to Egypt for help. In fact, he's correcting them for going to Egypt for help. And this evening, we find that these, as we look at this text of Scripture, that they faced trouble, but they called their plea. I'm reminded of Psalm 34. As you look in Psalm 34, it's a psalm of David. It's a familiar psalm, one in which we often reference. It's in this psalm that the Bible tells us as we read in verse number 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And it's a verse that we often will quote or reference. Aren't you so thankful that God is good? I have a little index card on my desk that just reminds me all the time. We thank God not because our circumstances are always good, but because he is always good. Your circumstances and my circumstances may not always be good, but our God is always good. And we find in Psalm 34 that before we get to that truth of verse 8, notice what the Bible says in verse number 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Isn't that a precious verse? David here sharing his own personal testimony. And we find that as David in verse number 6 rejoices and rehearses what God did in his life and how he faced troubles, but that he cried out to God and God heard him and God saved him or delivered him of all of his troubles, then David says this in verse number 17, the righteous cry. David said, this poor man cried. He's talking personally what he did in the time of his troubles and that God heard him and God delivered him. But in verse number 17, he says, the righteous cry. Aren't you thankful that you can be counted as that group that's the righteous? I'd be referring to those we would fall in that company as we look at the application there. And it says, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them, the righteous, out of all their troubles. Let me ask you this. Did Paul experience that deliverance? Sure he did. Paul testifies of it. When he writes in 2 Timothy, he testifies of the deliverance that God offered and that God gave him. We find here that as we look at verse number 17, we rejoice in the fact that this truth is not just something for David. Remember, our God is no respecter of persons. But then he says this in verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. These are precious promises. See, David experienced this, and then David wants others to know that God will do this for you as well. So in Psalm 81, when we're noting in verse number 7, "Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee, I answered thee in the secret place of thunder," that we know the difficulty, that it was a time of trouble for the people of God. And in that time of trouble, they did exactly what they should do, and that was call upon God. Oh, they didn't do it all the time. There are plenty of times that they did not follow what verse 7 is telling us. And so is the case for us. But you'll face trouble. You'll face difficulty. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But God, He delivered. And we note that. That's our third thought tonight. We note the trouble, the difficulty. We note the plea that thou callest. But then we note the deliverance. We notice here in verse number 7 that God says two things. He says, "Thou callest in trouble." Then notice He says, "I delivered thee." Then He says this, "I answered thee." I wonder this evening, as we begin to think about how God works and what God does, how often does God deliver and God answer in maybe a way in which we don't necessarily note it as being God's hand? That we miss the fact that it was God that did it. That we don't, see, we're not looking maybe like we ought to be looking to see, this was God that delivered, this was God that answered, this was God that moved, that worked, that did this thing. Yes, often throughout the Scriptures, and we've studied it much on Sunday mornings in 2 Corinthians over the year, where God uses people to encourage His people. I mean, Paul was encouraged and comforted by the coming of Titus. We read that in the book of 2 Corinthians. We read of other men that God would use to encourage the Apostle Paul at various times of his life. But we find that it was God that moved. It was God that led Titus. It was God that brought him to that place. And this evening, in your life and in my life, we got to look for the hand of God. What is God doing? How is God working? Because our God is sovereign, and our God is in control. And there are many times in which He works in mysterious ways. And there are times in which in our lives that when we call to God, that we need to be looking for how God is going to answer and what God is going to do. Because God's deliverance, as we look at this text of Scripture, was to be remembered and it was to be celebrated. Begin to think about how generations of people are able to be encouraged through the answers to our prayers. As we see God work, as we see God do what only God can do, and then as we give Him the glory for it. How many times in your life and in my life have we prayed and God has answered and we failed to even thank Him for what He did? Because we just keep hurrying along with life and we just keep on doing what we're doing and we forget to even pause and thank You, Lord. You did that. We ought to stand in awe of what God does and how God works. Do you remember the lepers? There were 10 and they were all healed, right? How many of them turned back? What did Jesus ask? Where are the 9? Right? Sometimes we're guilty of being the 9. We just are. And I'm putting myself in the same category. Because there are times in which we pray. Listen, the Bible talks about that we're to pray with thanksgiving. Really, the spirit of thanking God for what He's going to do before He even does it. Why? Because we know that He's going to answer. And we know that His answer is going to be right. It's going to be what we need. Because He doeth all things well. And so we think about the way in which our faith would be increased. We think about the way in which peoples would be influenced and encouraged, and they would set their hope in God and that they would follow God. Why? Because when the young people, when the next generation sees God working and God being real in your life, they want that. But if they don't see God real in our life, if they don't see that God's ever answered a prayer for mom and dad or for the church, what is there for them to really long for? I begin to think about this deliverance. Psalm 50, we'll look at a couple of verses here. Psalm 50, notice what the Bible says in Psalm 50 in verse number 15. There's another psalm of Asaph, just as Psalm 81 is. And in Psalm 50, the Bible says in verse number 14, but by the way, let me just back up to verse number 10, because notice what God's saying. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. How many times have we said that? He owns the cattle upon a thousand hills, right? And it says in verse number 11, I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. That's pretty powerful, is it not? This is our God. The Bible says in verse 13, will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And notice what God says, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. And notice the last phrase, and thou shalt glorify me. Doesn't verse 15 make sense? I mean, logically, it just makes sense. You have trouble? Call upon God. God is the one that owns everything, that has all power, and so He'll deliver, and then the response should be that we glorify Him. It just makes sense logically. And we see this great biblical truth given to us that God, again, is offering to His people that invitation that in the day of trouble, and call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. I heard a man say this just yesterday. His wife was extremely ill, has had three of her valves in her heart replaced, and is waiting for a fourth surgery to have a fourth valve replaced, and just really bad condition. And here's what he said. He said, but we know the great physician, and the great physician has never lost a patient. Sometimes he takes them to a better place, but he's never lost a patient. And I thought, what a great perspective. Because truly, that's ultimate healing, is it not? Praise God for that perspective. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15, we'll notice just a couple of verses as we close here this evening, looking at this thought, thou called, I answered. And I'm so thankful that we have a God who is able. We have a God that desires that in the time of your trouble and my trouble that we would call on Him. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, the Bible tells us in verse number 1, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him, and if you seek him, he will be found of you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, notice verse 3, for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought Him, He was found of them. God is not like us, and I'm so happy that He's not. Have you ever heard somebody say, if I were God, and then they go to fill in something, and my response always is, I'm so glad you're not God. I'm glad I'm not God. You're glad. I mean, He transcends us. He's not like us. He says that for a long season Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought Him, He was found of them. What a precious truth. Our God is merciful. He's loving. He cares. We think about the long-suffering of God. Notice in Nehemiah, if you will, in Nehemiah chapter number 9, here Nehemiah is rehearsing really a chapter that deals with much of Israel's history. I want to read two verses here in Nehemiah chapter 9. I don't have time to develop all of it, but notice in verse number 17, in verse 16 it says, But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments. This was something that repeatedly happened with the people of Israel, with the children of Israel. And it says in verse 17, notice how it starts, refused to obey. And refused to obey. Neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But then notice verse 17, but thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Skip down to verse 27. The Bible says this, therefore thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies who vex them. And in the time of their trouble, this is talking about the period of the judges, really historically if you read through Nehemiah 9, again, I don't have time to deal with all of it, but in this section of chapter 9, he's dealing with the period of the judges. And so in verse 27, he says, therefore thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies who vex them. And we see that in the book of Judges repeatedly. He would raise up a people group and they would bring into the children of Israel into some level of bondage. And it says this, and in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven. And according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors, that's the judges, who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. This evening, as we look at the first part of Psalm 81 in verse number 7, thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I'm thankful this evening, so thankful, that we call unto God and He answers. He knows what we need before we ever pray, but He has determined in His perfect will that prayer was a part of our dependence upon Him and our seeking Him. And though He knows all things and He knows the troubles and the difficulties we have before we ever verbalize them, He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to call unto Him. Why? Because when we call unto God, we're showing that dependence. You ever see children that want to think they can do it all on their own? I mean, I remember when Juliana turned 5 years old. And I remember we're sitting at my brother's house in North Carolina and my sister-in-law was there. My brother actually was deployed at the time, and we're getting ready to have dinner. And Juliana says, I'm 5 now, I can have a knife. She wanted a steak knife as we're going to have dinner because she said, I'm 5 now. And you know, sometimes kids, Joseph used to say, I can do it. And he didn't want anyone's help. I can do it. You know, sometimes that's how we live our lives. I can do this. I got this. I'll figure it out. But in the time of our trouble, you know what God wants us to do? He wants us to call. He wants us to cry out. And He wants to show Himself mighty. And He wants to work in such a way that He would be glorified. That we would glorify Him in and through that circumstance and situation. Thou callest, I answered. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You so much for loving us. We thank You for the privilege of being able to gather this evening on a Wednesday night and to study Your Word. I thank You for the example here in Psalm 81. And Lord, we thank You for the reminder of how wonderful You are and the fact that we do face troubles and difficulties, but God, we understand that it's important, imperative, that our response is that we cry unto Thee. Lord, I thank You that You hear. I thank You that You're able. I pray that You'd bless now as we spend time in prayer corporately. I pray, Lord, that you'd have your will and way, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Does anyone need a prayer bulletin this evening? Anyone not get one? All right, everyone's got one. Let's start on the back looking at the updates from our missionaries. And the first one is from Brother Snelson. I mentioned to you on Sunday that we'd have an update.